Hear the gospel of resurrection according to John, the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken our Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples sent out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Here ends our gospel reading.
It must have been hard for those who went to the tomb early Sunday morning. After all, Jesus had been crucified and he was buried. And yet in John on that Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb and sees that the stone is no longer in front of the tomb, sealing the tomb. She didn't have to look in. It was obvious that someone had tampered with the tomb. The stone was no longer where it should be. She runs to tell Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, that Jesus is missing, that they've taken him out of the tomb, and she doesn't know where he is. Jesus' body has been stolen. Of course, Peter, the other disciple, they run to the tomb. The other disciple gets there first, sees the linen wrappings that have been on Jesus' body just lying there. It is as if Jesus' body just left, since the wrappings are just there. There is nothing there but an empty tomb. We know the tomb is empty. We celebrate and rejoice that the tomb is empty. But think about this. You're Mary, Peter, or the other disciple. We go to the tomb. Maybe all we see is the stone removed. And before we reach the entrance to the tomb, we know something is wrong. Or maybe we go closer and we see the wrappings just lying there. Or maybe we actually walk into the tomb, see that it is really empty except for the wrappings. Now we know Jesus is gone. He said something would happen. But all we are faced with at the tomb is emptiness. Jesus is not here. There is no yelling of he is risen at this point. The disciples just go home. No celebration, no nothing. Mary stays around, though. She had not gone into the tomb. She's only seen the stone removed and just knows that someone has stolen Jesus' body. She stands weeping outside the tomb and looks into the tomb and sees angels. And they ask her a strange question. "Woman, why are you weeping?" They're angels. Don't they know why Mary is weeping? If I'd been Mary, I would have said, "What am I crying about? There's a lot to cry about. It has been a week filled with betrayal, violence, and death. Jesus was my hope. Now he's dead, and even his body has been stolen. There is nothing right in this world. There's no longer hope. Everything is wrong. Nothing is the way it's supposed to be. My world as I have known it has fallen apart. There's nothing here but an empty tomb." That is what I would have told the angels. Mary tells them that her Lord has been taken away, and she doesn't know where to find him. There's no response from the angels. Instead, the question is asked of Mary a second time, this time from someone who appears to be a gardener. "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She turns and sees the gardener and says, "If you have taken him, just tell me where he is, and I will take him away." Once again, Mary is much nicer than I would have been. I would have wanted to yell, "Who am I looking for? Who am I looking for? I'm looking for the body of the one who said he is the one. I'm looking for what is left of a shattered dream and shattered hope." Mary is consumed with sorrow. Sorrow that the tomb and the body of her Lord have been tampered with. She wants to find Jesus, but her sorrow is so all-encompassing that she doesn't see hope right in front of her. Then Jesus says, "Mary." And Mary says, "Rabboni, my teacher." As the shepherd knows his sheep by name, it is her name, Mary, uttered by the resurrected Christ, that opens her eyes. Jesus comes to Mary in her darkest hour, and even though she doesn't see him at first, even though her faith in Jesus could not take her beyond his body being stolen, even despite her sorrow, Jesus comes to her. Peter saw, the other disciple believed what he saw, but it is Mary that Jesus calls by name. It is Mary that Jesus appears to first and tells her to go and tell the others, there's new life, there's new life in the midst of no hope, no future, and what they believed to be death. Even though the darkness had surrounded them, even though Mary wept in the darkness, the light still came. The light of a new life surrounded her. Resurrection is a reality. And what a sign of grace. Jesus did not reprimand Mary because she didn't believe by sight of an empty tomb. Jesus didn't say to her, "What is your problem? When you get through with your tears, we'll have a talk with you about your lack of faith." Jesus didn't say, "Hey, Mary, the other disciple believed by just seeing the linen wrappings in the empty tomb." No, Jesus met her right where she was and called her by name. Yes, the tomb is empty. But the encounter of Mary with the resurrected Christ is what the celebration is about. God's promises became real. Jesus' words to his followers became real. Jesus had said, "I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me. But you will see me because I live. You also will live. A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. You will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy." We live in a time that an empty tomb can be explained away, right? I mean, there's all sorts of ways we could explain that away. We live in a time that someone could explain away the resurrection, too. Well, Mary and the disciples also lived in a time that an empty tomb could be explained away. They also lived in a time that resurrection could just be thrown out the window. After all, it never happened before. It is no wonder that they didn't know what Jesus meant when he talked of rising after death. It isn't that easy of a task to explain resurrection today either. But Mary's encounter with the risen Christ gives us words that we can use to describe resurrection. We can speak of those times when Christ has met us at the depths of our pain and sorrow. We know the darkness of a death of a loved one. Jesus meets us there. We know the darkness of violence, the pain of a high school student stabbing students. We know the despair that is felt in the darkness of violence. A man shoots a grandfather, his grandson, and a woman, all because he's so filled with hate. We have been on our knees crying in that garden over the loss of an airplane and not knowing where it is with people on it, or the loss of over 200 people, many whom are high school students, on a sinking ferry in Korea. We know the darkness and the despair of not having answers when someone commits suicide or an incurable disease rears its ugly head in our life or a member of our family. We know the pain at the loss of life due to drug overdose or car wrecks, just from 1 week of life in this world. We know of these depths of pain and sorrow. And resurrection assures us that just as Jesus met Mary in that darkness, Christ will meet us at the depths of our pain and sorrow. We have hope that just like Mary, Christ will speak our names even when we don't believe anymore. The resurrected Christ is with us always, no matter what comes our way, no matter how empty that tomb looks, no matter who believes and who doesn't believe, God has given us the gift of resurrection, the gift of life. A good friend of mine put it this way. It is true that resurrection happened for all. It's true that one person and one person does not have possession of the gift of resurrection. It is for all. But there are those mornings when we gather at the tomb and all we see is an empty tomb. There are those mornings when even our connection to God seems to have disappeared. It is on those mornings that we can remember Jesus calling Mary's name. It is on those mornings that we need to proclaim the resurrection of Christ, the gift of life for me. Everyone else can believe what they want, but on those mornings that we find ourselves staring at an empty tomb, we need to listen very carefully and believe that Christ will meet us right where we are. Christ will meet us and call us by name. The gift is for all, but someday I need to remind myself that it is also for me. Thank God that we have a God and a Christ so filled with grace and love and mercy that even to those of us who only see an empty tomb, who see no hope, who experience sorrow, who weep, who doubt, Jesus still calls us by name. Jesus still comes to us as we come looking for him and offers us good news and offers us grace. We came here today to celebrate that empty tomb. Instead, let's celebrate a Savior who calls us by name in the midst of our tears. Let's celebrate a Savior who, even though he died, he still lives. Let's celebrate a Christ who transforms our sorrow, even when we cannot at first see him. Let's celebrate a Christ who knows that we will have pain and that we will weep and we will mourn. Let's celebrate a Christ who seeks us even as we seek him. Let's celebrate a Christ who breathes new life into us as a Christ who freely offers us grace and mercy. Let's celebrate and realize that when we leave here today, just like the disciples, when we go home, the resurrected Christ is with us. Even if all we see is an empty tomb, even if all we see is some evidence at the communion table that Jesus may have been here, even if all we see is lives touched because we gathered together, even if we are the ones who only have to see to believe. In this world we live in, this world today, there is hope and there is future. There is the joy of a God who loves us so much that we have been given life, new life, eternal life in Jesus the Christ. Our Christ has resurrected. He is risen. And when we can't find hope, and we find it hard to understand resurrection when we're surrounded by violence and death and poverty and illness, Jesus meets us where we are and calls us into a life filled with grace, mercy, and love. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
At this time in our worship service, we always extend an invitation to those who may be searching for a church home to come and worship with us. We are a church that not only believes resurrection, this is a church that has lived resurrection. We invite you to come and join with us.